a stable, financially stable life. And a lot of these services that currently are in place are good, but more needs to be done as time progresses in order to assist and in order to provide the services that these people deserve.
Yes, and I totally agree with you on this, because I personally experienced this challenge as well in Canada when I arrived as an immigrant in Ottawa. Even though I was brought by the government, and we had a sort of support from the government, but that was very, very limited. And to the extent that when I decided to go back to Afghanistan, even though I knew that my life would be at risk, but still I was willing to take on that risk. And I said, well, at least I had a home in Afghanistan. I had a family, and here I don't have a family. I don't have a house, you know, or I don't have a place for living. I'm totally like a homeless person. So I totally understand that it's not just bringing the refugees from Syria or from Afghanistan or from any other country in the world to Canada. It's also about making sure once the refugee or immigrants are here, they need to have access to job, to good education, and other sorts of programs that would improve their life in Canada. Because if you don't provide the immigrants with these kind of opportunities, that itself would create a problem for the society. So I totally agree with you, and it's really good that the government of Canada should focus on this, because I remember, you know, my difficult times in 2012, and I think I wouldn't have stayed in Canada if my network did not step in here in Canada and didn't support me. So I think that today I was brought by the government, but I stayed in Canada because of my network, because they helped me. And once I learned how the system works, then I'm now good, knowing how things works, and I'm able to find a jobs. You know, I'm getting education right now with the support of the family, the Brooks family, who are supporting my education. So they're very, very generous, you know, and I'm hoping, you know, I've been helped a lot in my life, and I'm hoping that one day I will be able to do the same things that my network has done for me, because they're really helping me. Especially, I would like to say that the Brooks family, you know, having this big, treating me as a member of their family, you know, making sure that I have a good life, get education, supporting me personally, and they're really helping me to achieve my dreams, to achieve my goals. And I'm hoping that one day I will be able to do the same thing for other people in the world who has the same ambitions, same hopes and dreams for getting an education or for becoming a person that they would like to be, and they would like to be and want to make a change. So I really hope, you know, that I will give back to the society what my network has given me so far.
Certainly, and I think that a lot of families that are in the position to help financially, I think a lot of families should make contributions financially to help the refugees in order for individuals to be able to have that support. There are a lot of people who are wealthy and have the resources to be able to provide and to make a difference. And I think that that's something that's very admirable, and more people should be involved in making such contributions. Another thing that I think that the community and the government should do, the government of Canada should focus on, is degree recognition. There are a lot of people who come from Afghanistan to this country, and they're extremely well educated. They have PhDs, masters, doctorates, law degrees, MDs, degrees in engineering, computer science, extremely well distinguished programs that they have completed. And a problem that is in place is the fact that a lot of these degrees aren't recognized. And that's something that I discussed with the Consul General of Afghanistan, Ms. Nazifa Langarian, is the fact that she's working with the government in order to make it so that these degrees are recognized. It's unfair for someone who has a PhD from Afghanistan to come to this country, to come to Canada, and to be told that that PhD is not recognized, when oftentimes the standards, the level of education in Afghanistan is extremely high. And I would know, because as I completed my bachelor's and my master's at the University of Waterloo, my bachelor's in legal studies, and then my master's in public service. And a lot of my friends were completing degrees in engineering, computer programming, mathematics, science, and their level of understanding was significantly high. So I think that that's one of the main things that as time progresses, the government should focus on degree recognition and putting in place a program that grants and qualifies the recognition of certain degrees. Because if all of these students come to Canada and all of these students have prior degrees, if those degrees aren't recognized, then the types of jobs that they can obtain are limited. So like I mentioned before, having that recognition is crucial to the success of individuals in order for them to be able to obtain well-paying positions that they rightfully so deserve. Ms. Sahar, another question that I wanted to ask you is, I did extensive research on you, and I found out that you joined the Afghan Interpreter Immigration Program in order to help people. And after the Taliban, afterwards what happened was the Taliban killed two of your friends, and after they kidnapped your brother, you faced a lot of challenges and obstacles, and you've persevered significantly. What I want you to do is I want you to please discuss the impact of the Afghan Interpreter Immigration Program, along with the struggles that you have faced and that you have overcome in order to help people.
Well, the interpreter program was a really an excellent program that was launched by the Canadian government, because it really helped those interpreters whose life were really at risk, and there were a lot of interpreters at the same time left behind. The government didn't bring all of them, and I hope that they could have brought more interpreters than what they have brought. But still, I would say that we are extremely grateful that we are here and our life were protected by the Canadian government and by the Canadian people who supported this program. My brother personally was kidnapped and badly tortured by the Taliban, and I wish that I could have brought him with me as well. But unfortunately, the program was designed only that you could, you were only allowed to bring your own kids. And since he was not my child, he was my brother, so I was not allowed to bring him here. Even though I did talk to IOM, International Organization for Migration, who were responsible for handling our process. But unfortunately, I was not allowed to bring him. But my parents moved from Kandahar, and my brother is doing really well. Right now, he's at school, even though he still suffers from some of the trauma. And I'm hoping, you know, one day to be able to do something good for my brother, because he was very young. He was 11 years old when he got kidnapped, and I still feel guilty for that. I always say that I wish I was being kidnapped or I was being directly killed rather than my brother being kidnapped, because he really did not deserve that treatment, that brutal treatment by these evils. So, I miss my family. I miss my brothers, and I haven't seen them in a long time. And hopefully when I see my family, you know, either if it's in Canada or it's in Afghanistan, you know, I hope to see them in a good condition, not in a condition where I will be disappointed and will be mad or sad. So the main significance of this program was, you know, they protected our life, and we were brought here, and even though we had some of the problems here adjusting to the life, not everyone, but most of the Afghans interpreter wives, because they're very traditional, and some of them even did not go outside of their houses in Afghanistan. So coming to Canada and then not knowing the language, which was really, really difficult, and they couldn't understand what was going on here and how the life was. So, you know, some funny moments we had here, and some, you know, not funny moments we had. So it's like, and most of the Afghan interpreters, they were not willing to interpret for their wives. And of course, you know, here, when we were brought here, we were trained on the equality, how the right of a man and a woman is an equal here in Canada. And like, you can't beat your wife, you know, you can't hit your child. If you do these things, you will be sent to jail, whereas in Afghanistan, you do that every day and you never get punished for it. So to them, you know, I could see, like, I saw a lot of men, you know, and it's like, for them, it was hard to understand. And it's like, the people are telling, what were telling them, I say, it's not a joke, it's a serious thing. So you better not laugh about it. And you have to take it serious. So in a couple of the interpreters, I think the immigration had a hard time with them. You know, they were not interpreting very well for their wives, so they got a little bit kind of suspicious. So then they knew me in the program, and I stayed at the same reception house, and they asked me to help them with the language. And they said, Mariam, we really need your help with the interpretation, because we, even though we do not understand what they're interpreting for their wives, but we can understand the length, because the immigration officer say, I speak for 5-6 minutes, and I see the interpreter translating for a few seconds. Say, I can see that a little bit, that he's not doing the right interpretation. So they asked me to do the interpretation for the female or for the wives of the interpreter. So I went on and I did the translation for them throughout, like for full 2 years. So they were bringing the interpreters in 2012 and 13. And more than that, I got involved with the Afghan interpreter's house, Afghan interpreter wives, on a personal level. And that was, you know, making sure that they know how to do grocery shopping, make sure they know how to take bus, make sure, you know, how to discipline their kids in Canada. It's not, you can't discipline your kid by hitting them, because that's what we do in Afghanistan. If your child is screaming or yelling or not listening to you, you give him a slap, you give him or her a slap. And that's how, that's not how you discipline your kids here in Canada. And then a lot of the Afghan interpreter's wife were pregnant. So they really needed someone, the translator. And especially it's a big, big culture shock for Afghan men to be in the same delivery room with his wife. Because in Afghan culture, when a woman is giving a birth to a child, there are no men in the house. The man gets involved later, but not during that period. So it was a really big big shock for a lot of Afghan men here when they heard that they have to be in the delivery room with the woman, you know, giving a birth to the child. And they were like, no, we are not going to be there. We cannot call Mariam and